Welcome, welcome to the best 5-minute podcast with Forrest Kelly.
Dry Creek Valley may be small, roughly 16 miles long and 2 miles wide, yet it's home to over 150 wineries and some of the oldest Zinfandel vines in America. Why so much Zinfandel? Early Italian immigrants planted it here because the soils and hot day, cool night climate mirrors parts of Tuscany. So let's zoom in on Geyersville, California, 8533 Dry Creek Road, home to
the best 5-minute wine podcast.
Hi, this is Deborah Matthew, proprietor of Dutcher Crossing Winery in Dry Creek Valley.
You grew up in Wisconsin, is that correct?
That is correct.
Growing up in Wisconsin, what is that like? Is it all about cheese and cold weather?
Well, that's part of it. It's all about warm family feeling and sensitivity and friends. And I grew up in Norman Rockwell situation, and that's my memory. I have two older brothers who are awesome, great, but I'm the baby and the only girl, and as I like to say, they quit when they got it right.
And I'm sure that goes over well with the brothers.
My mom ran the household and us kids, so she was a great homemaker and role model. But my dad had a family company that was in road building and energies, so he was a civil engineer. And I am, out of my siblings, the only one that did not follow the path of the family business. But I forged my own path with everybody's encouragement.
Then you get out of high school and you go to college?
I'm not sure how much you know about me, but I went to France in high school and steered some wineries for the first time. And I went, oh, I should do that for a living. I should do that for life. And my mom and dad kind of went, no, we don't know anything about that. You know, go get a degree and get a job. And I did. I was in the teaching world. When my dad got diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, you know, you realize life is short. I talked to him. I wanted to do the wine business. We had looked on and off together for a while. And he said, great, let's do as long as I have left. And him and my mom and I set off on the journey to find the right winery. And here I am.
So in high school, how did you go to France in high school?
I did not take French for the love of the language. I took French class for 3 years because I wanted to take the trip to France as a junior. So part of the deal. And it was a great experience. And it was impactful, even though did I really think I'd be in the wine industry? No. It was an eye-opening what the world could offer more than what I was seeing. I think that's the most important thing that you take away from experiences outside of the country or outside of your own world. What else is there to offer? And it just kind of opened my eyes that there's other things to experience and learn about.
So when you went to France and you saw these wineries, what exactly was it? It was like, oh my gosh, I just love this. Was it outdoors? What was it?
I don't know what I thought a vineyard looked like. I don't know what I thought the wine industry was or where wine came from, but I saw vineyards and they were just tall and they had beautiful wineries. And I did not realize you could do it for a living. It just felt like it's just who people were, farmers. But I realized you could do it for a living. It seemed romantic. It seemed like something different every single day. Like you're a farmer, you're in production, you're manufacturing, like it's something different. And that's kind of what intrigued me, that it wasn't the same thing day in, day out.
So after taking the trip as a junior, and then your mom and everybody going around looking at wineries to purchase, what time frame are we looking at there?
I had looked on and off when I was in my 20s. And then when I got, you know, and the wineries that were for sale for a reason. They weren't doing well. And that was not a good situation for me. And my mom and dad made it very clear to me, like, we do not understand this business. We're not turnkey people in this business. Is probably not the right situation for you. Like, you got to find the right situation and be smart about it. And so when my dad got sick, when I was in my 30s, you know, we did a hard push for about 4.5 years. And unfortunately, he passed passed away 3 months before I bought the winery. So he never got to see Dutcher Crossing, but he knew about it. And I think he's here in spirits. And you would hate he's part of the story because he was very quiet, private man. But he's part of the story, and it is what it is. And we work hard to make him proud.
In part two of our conversation with Deborah Mathey, proprietor of Dutcher Crossing Winery, let's find out about the logo, which just happens to be the bicycle that coined the phrase taking a header. Because the style of the bicycle, the rider sits so high, anytime there's an accident, guess who goes head first? Tell me about the penny farthing.
The penny farthing is our logo. It's for those that can't see it, it's a high wheel bike. So it's the big wheel with the tiny little wheel in the back. And when my dad was sick, he wanted to give my brothers and I each a special gift. And my brothers got different gifts, but my dad and mom found a penny farthing for me. I have a bike collection, and I had always wanted one, but they're fitted per your height and inseam, so they never could find the right size for me. And he gave me the bike in 2005, and it was the last gift he gave me before he passed away. So it represents our journey into wine country together. I do ride it, and I do ride it every once in a while in the parades, but little kids run out in the parades, and there's not a lot of great turn radius, and you can't stop on a dime. So we're mindful about where we ride it.
So the negotiations, or was there a moment when you through the searching things, going to all the wineries and things, what about the Dutcher Crossing Winery? You arrived and you said, oh my gosh, this is it. Our search is over.
It's interesting. I had looked at and made offers, and the deals had fallen through throughout several years. But I came in and spoke to the owners of Dutcher Crossing just to kind of pick their brain of why they built the winery instead of buying a pre-existing winery, and kind of understanding their thoughts about how they got into the industry. And I did that with several other winery owners. But as I kept looking, I kept referencing and comparing to Dutcher Crossing, and it was not for sale. And then when my dad passed away, my oldest brother, Steve, said, where are you at with the wine industry and how can we help you? And I said, the deal fell through right before dad passed away. I said, but the one that feels right is Dutcher Crossing. It's not for sale. And my oldest brother said, well, go ask. The worst thing they can do is say no. And I was like, is it that simple? It was great advice. Both my brother Steve and Scott were like, a lot of things aren't for sale, but just go ask. And I came out, and our family CFO was with us, and we came out and talked to the owners, and they knew who we were. And here's my thought, what do you think? And they said, give us a little bit of time to think about it. They called a week later, and they said, we're interested. And I flew back out, and we made an offer. We went to dinner with the owners. The next day, they countered. And then my family CFO walked me out, and we stood outside the front door, and he started looking at football scores on his cell phone. And I'm like, really? Like, you're looking at playoff football scores? Like, let's meet in the middle. That's what we were hoping for. He's like, no. He's like, you got to play it cool. We got to stand out here for a little bit. We can't be too eager. So, I sat and watched him look at football scores, the playoffs for the Packers. And then we walked back in, gave another offer, and we all shook hands. And about 37 days to 40 days later, the winery had switched hands. And both families went, it's right hand to pass it to. It's about 10 years earlier than we expected, but they did not want it to fall into corporate hands. Oh, okay. They wanted their vision and passion to continue on. And so in my world, in my family's world, we are just kind of the shepherds for the next generation that will eventually take over Dutcher Crossing. So, we try to make them proud, and they come back and visit, which is unique in the wine industry or any business where former owners come back and are still proud and excited about what we're doing. I'm glad the deal went through because I've enjoyed the 18 years so far.
And you're hands-on.
I am. I think I'm somewhat unique being super hands-on. I enjoy working with our staff. I enjoy seeing the customers. I enjoy the challenges every day. Like, we're in, Mother Nature is not being so kind right now. It's raining. So it's always something different. And I view my job as really helping develop the people of Dutcher Crossing. If I'm doing a good job, they're going to need me less and less in the front of the winery, which is kind of what's happening. I'm much more behind the scenes, and less they need to bring me out and make me smile and have fun with the guests. But they have developed and evolved that they're taking more and more of the reins away from me, which is kind of fun to see.
Do you remember one of the first things that you, your signature onto Dutcher Crossing Winery once you became the owner? You said, okay, we're going to do things a little bit different. We're going to tweak this. Do you remember what that was?
Yeah, we added many, many more vineyard designate wines and kind of pushed our founding winemaker. I love where you're at, but I need you to rise higher. I need you to set the bar higher. And he kind of looked at me and he's like, really? I'm like, yep. And so we kind of, you know, we promised owners, like, we're going to maintain what you have, but we're going to build upon it. So we added probably 6 or 7 vineyard designates to our program, which was exciting for us.
Was that difficult for him to hear and then for you to implement that moving forward?
Yeah, it was kind of nerve-wracking trying to, you know, work with, you know, fifth generation, you know, vineyard owners and making sure they understood who I was and they were comfortable putting their grapes in our hands, because it was different than the old ownership. So you had to earn the trust, and it was a fun path. And now we have, I started with 6 wines and now we have 30 wines. So everybody thinks I'm crazy.
30.
Yeah, we started with 6, but now we have 30. And the founding winemaker, Carrie, really got on board with, it wasn't about making volume, so many cases. It was about making the best cases we could. And if that meant making 30 different wines to make 10,000 cases, so be it. We could make 10,000 cases with 6 wines, but we wanted to be the most proud that we could be of every single wine. And I told them, go find the best fruit that we can afford and justify it and do right by it. So we have a lot of lots that are about 300 cases. And it's a big commitment from my wine staff to do that. And it's a big commitment from my business side and the front side to put their arms and wrap around 30 wines and try to sell them and make them all feel special and tell the stories. And so everybody's bought into my crazy concept. And so far it's working.
Where did you come up with that?
I didn't intentionally come up with it. I just knew when there was an opportunity to work with a family like the Bacio Galuppi family, that you seized opportunities because they may not come back around. And that's just something I learned from my dad and mom. And it's something that both my brother, Steve and Scott, have instilled in me. And just seize opportunities when they come and do the best you can and never look back. You know, we kind of view failure as, you can not succeed in something, but there's failure when you don't try. You know, it was worth a try and it seemed to have worked so far.
You're in the Sonoma Valley in California, and what's your, how many miles north of Santa Rosa?
I'm about 25 miles north of Santa Rosa. I'm about an hour 40 minutes north of San Francisco. So I'm near the northern end of Sonoma Valley. We're at the top of Dry Creek Valley, which is a small valley, a couple miles wide, but about 13 miles long. So we're small and mighty and happy about it.
In that small, mighty area, as you say, how many wineries are around you?
Yeah, when I came in Dry Creek, there was about 30, and we have about 60 now. So over 20 years, like, we've doubled.
What does the area look like, and then specifically your winery?
I would say we kind of resemble a little bit of Tuscany. As you're coming down Dry Creek Road, you have a bench land, which is raised land on one side, and then you have this idyllic hills on the other side of the Dry Creek. And when you come into our property and enter the winery, we frame this beautiful hill, which is another winery, like the view, and it actually makes people stop and catch their breath. They're like, oh my gosh. And they stop. The photo ops are stunning. It's hillside and planted vines. And I can't even tell you how beautiful it is. It reminds me of Tuscany. And, you know, I'll come out and it's like, yeah, this is my office every single day. Like, it is stunning and I don't take it for granted.
I really look forward to coming up to a vineyard and seeing the structure and everything organized and landscaped and just aesthetically pleasing. Is that something you're striving for and you get at Dutcher Crossing?
It really is. It's a sense of, you know, I have a business manager that's been with me 15 years full time, and like we walk in the vineyards and do our meetings, and it's like therapeutic for you. It's just, it decreases your blood pressure. It just gives you a sense of peace and calm, and you wish everybody's work environment could be like that.
I think one of the leads that I buried here is that, is it true that you are one of the first single female owners in the Valley?
Yeah, I was the first single woman to lead in the Valley, in Dry Creek Valley, yeah.
Is the wine industry, I can imagine that it's probably male-dominated, and there's some barriers that are tough to break. Did you encounter any of those at all, or?
You know, I mean, yeah, I was a single woman in Dry Creek leading, but I hate to poo-poo men, but there was a little bit of good old boy attitude. However, once those men meet you or meet other women and then they talk to you, they've all been somewhat open and been like, oh, okay. So they once they get to know you, they have no problem. You know, Dry Creek is a very welcoming community. And I think really over the last 20 years, women have proven themselves. And I don't think, at least here in Dry Creek Valley and most of Sonoma that I know of, everybody kind of gets a fair shot now, which is nice, because there's been generational change of hands over the last 20 years. So everybody has a little bit different mentality, which is nice. I think there's always room for improvement with equality, but equality sometimes has to be earned. And everybody here in Dry Creek is giving the young generation, the women, the minorities, a chance to earn the place, which is nice. Hey, as long as I pay my bills, people are okay selling me grapes. It comes down to, are you going to be good to do business with? Yeah. It doesn't matter who you are or where you're from or anything when it comes down to that.
Walk me through kind of a typical day or typical visit when somebody comes to Dutcher Crossing. What can they expect?
They generally will be here about 90 minutes. They're going to walk through our breezeway. They're going to be greeted as I would expect my staff to greet my mother. If they're going to do a bar tasting, which consists of, you know, four or five wines, they're going to our taste room. But if it's a seated experience, a more elevated experience, we'll take them out to one of our tables so they get to enjoy the beautiful view. And they'll do a seated tasting of 5 to 6 wines. They may or may not have a charcuterie board with it. They may or may not have a chocolate and cheese board with it. And, you know, depending on if you call us ahead of time, you may get me drive in the pedicab and I will give you a tour of the vineyard. So, I mean, we offer a little bit different experience for everyone.
So that's kind of an Easter egg on a booking that you just show up and pick somebody with a golden ticket?
No, I mean, you can book a tour of the vineyards, but you can also book a tour with me coming up and driving the pedicab, and which is kind of a fun, different experience. And, you know, everybody can get on a tractor or a mule and go out and show their guests the vineyards. But we actually put them in the cab part, and I pedal and talk about the vineyards and give them a kind of a fun, different view of life at Dutcher Crossing. Yeah, I mean, I think the wow moment is the minute they walk through and see the view, and then we just have to build upon that. So we want them leaving going, I felt like family. And I loved everything that they did. We don't need the wines or the site or the hospitality to be the star. We need the whole package to be memorable. And that's our goal.
Are you still doing picnics?
Yeah, we still do picnics. I mean, if you're a wine club member, you're welcome to call and set up a table and picnic. And my dog most likely is going to find your way out underneath your table. But we welcome picnics. Like, it's, we're not a park for the public, but if you're a wine club member, you're welcome to come picnic. And we usually see a lot of couples have their dates here with us, and it's fun.
I see, and doing some research here, that you've got solar on the property?
Yeah, so we at our winery house, the property, there's solar on the roof. And at the winery, we have solar panels on the backside, the roof. And we also have them on the ground behind the fence between the winery and some vineyards. And the founders of the winery started that project rolling, and we were all excited about that. It continued the project, and actually the installation went in after we purchased the winery.
Earlier, we learned about your escalation from 6 wines to 30. Out of those, can you give us some highlights?
I would say, of course, we have a family series that we craft for my parents and my brothers and siblings, my nieces and nephews. But I would say our Sauv Blanc is the first wine that we present to people, and it has to be memorable. And that is the most memorable wine I took away from when I first came to Dutcher Crossing. So we have high expectations for that. Our Pinots have become dynamic and memorable. And, you know, I'm a cab girl, so I really love that we still continue to do Cab Syrah, our proprietor's reserve, and our Taylor reserve. Cab Syrah, it's everybody needs a wine that's enjoyable, age worthy, but is drinkable now. And we pretty much, you know, fill that need.
In this journey to get where you are, who are the people that give you the energy to keep going?
I know, of course, my brothers are two mentors that I wouldn't be here doing what I am without their help. You know, our family CFO is a mentor as well, but the founding winemaker, because he was here with me day to day, Kerry Damski, is still one of my best friends. He was a great mentor and still continues to be a great mentor. I was with him yesterday and we were talking about, you know, how we're going to deal with the rain and the mold and you know, approaching whether we're going to take the remaining grapes. So, I have good family mentors, but I had a great mentor, Kerry Damski, when I got here. And like he told me, he goes, if you're not learning every single day, you're not doing something right. And so, you know, I kind of live by that.
How much of the vineyard fruit that's on site ends up in the bottles?
We probably about 37%. We sell a bunch of fruit. We're growers as well and sell fruit. And we're intentional about that because we don't want to be one-dimensional. We're valley floor. So we're intentional that we want some different offerings that represent Sonoma at its finest. So we got some hillside, cool climate, warm climate Pinot. So we got a little bit of something different for everyone, but we take most of the fruit from Dutcher Crossing proper, and then we sell fruit from 2 of our other vineyards and part of our Pinot vineyard.
Every winery's got a wine club. What do you love about your wine club?
I love that many of these people have started as clients to us and become friends and now are part of their family. I love that people are bringing their kids here, bringing their grandkids here, and they view us as family. We're not just, hey, go and pick up your wine and have a sandwich or whatever at a pickup party and leave. They come and make memories with their families. Some of the club members now that we have, I met when they were 8, and now they're wine club members because we're just family. So I think we're a little bit different because I am hands-on, and my staff is very hands-on, and we have the expectation that you are greeted and treated as I would my mother or my brothers. And so I think we're set apart, that we have great offerings for them, but they know that their family, we're going to take care of them. We're going to take care of their family members. And it's a genuine sense. You're not part of the club. We welcome people into our family.
As we continue our conversation with Deborah Mathey of Dutcher Crossing Winery, I mentioned to her how difficult it is to get wineries to come on a podcast, and that she should be the voice of the wine association because of her passion and fervor for the wine industry. And I also ask her about the current generation that is cutting back on alcohol consumption, and she gave an answer like no one else. You've got to hear this. Here we go.
The best 5 minute wine podcast.
It's going to take a village, and it's going to. I think the downfall is, like, there's some people that are my age and older that are a little nervous about podcasts and social media, and it's outside their comfort zone. So if they don't, and they don't realize the opportunities and how beneficial things are, it's not just print. And I'm surrounded by, like, younger generation. They're like, this is great. Let's do this. And so I'm learning from them not to be scared of the unknown and doing things that are not, we didn't grow up with podcasts. So it's a weird concept. And I think for the older generation, it's a weird concept to talk about yourself. That's not how we were raised. So I think the new generation is just going to get on board helping, like, my generation grow. But let's just be honest, the new generation, the younger generation, when life gets harder, they're going to start drinking. They may not be drinking right now, but they're going to start drinking.
That's funny. That's drop the mic moment right there. You're just looking at that Gen Zer right in the eye and going, hey, when things get tough, you're going to start drinking. So knock it off with this alcohol-free stuff.
Yeah, it's probably a really bad marketing thing. But, like, the fact is, I didn't drink a lot when I was younger, Mom, because I could not afford it.
Yeah.
But, you know, eventually they're going to appreciate some different things in life. And I don't drink alcohol, but I'm California sober. Like, alcohol's bad for you, but cannabis isn't. Like, so, like, you can't tell me you have absolutely clean living. So, like, life will evolve for them, and they may not drink wine, but they may drink some other alcoholic beverage. But people will find their way to wine. It wasn't my drink of choice at, you know, 21, you know, because, like, you know, you evolve to understand what wine is.
Come on. Is there any other alcohol that you can partake that has health benefits?
No. I mean, I'm from Wisconsin, so I'm always going to promote brandy, which is a great product. But wine is about making memories. It's not about excessive consumption. You know, the alcohol industry has a bad rap. Like, many people just do not have this excessive consumption. Enjoying a glass of wine with your meal is not harmful, in my opinion. I don't have any scientific data to back that absolute, but, you know, you make a memory and you enjoy life, and your blood pressure drops because you're less stressed. So there's pros and cons to everything. You can find something to support and not support any subject in the world. Nothing is absolute black and white poo-poo you shouldn't do. You have to make sacrifices so that in 10 years from now, you have a little bit more opportunity to have some freedom. It just doesn't automatically happen. No. And you can't always live where you want, have the house you want, and have the job you want. Like, to have all three of those line up, I think very few people in the world have that.
So when you go to DutcherCrossingWinery.com, there's a red banner across the top. Well, can you tell me about that? That sounds so exciting.
Here at Dutcher Crossing, we do annual wine cruises with wine club members and family that want to join us. So next year we are going to France, and I unfortunately am not going because it's actually a time my winemaker can sail with friends and family. And and he's starting in Paris and going to Normandy. And we are joining forces with two other wineries, Amista and Fat Dragon. And, you know, we're going to go have fun. Nick's going to go have fun. Everybody's going to have fun together, drink wine, learn about wine, make memories. And I have a scary feeling when Nick comes back, he's going to say, am I going on the next wine cruise? And he's not, because the next wine cruise is in 2027, where I'm leading people to Japan. So our whole thing about wine cruises isn't necessarily specifically wine regions. It's, you know, we'll travel with Dutcher Crossing Wine and experience some of the wines of the areas we go, but it's about making memories with the people we're traveling with. And that's the most important part. You know, wine is wine. There's so many different wines out there, but for us, it's about making memories and being a part of everybody's lives. And it's just not when you pour a glass. So that's kind of why we do wine cruises, to share life and be with each other and take a break from reality. Easier to do the work to go forward, or at least try to go forward, than sit with anxiety of doing nothing. I'm not even drinking, so
yeah, it's early in the morning.
Those are sober moments.
Okay, looking back over the decade and a half, if Dutcher Crossing was a storybook, what chapter title would you give it?
Probably The Never-Ending Journey.
Do you have a favorite wine movie?
No, I don't, okay. Because I like vampire movies and sci-fi, so I don't watch a lot of wine movies.
Well, so what's your favorite vampire movie?
Lost Boys with Kiefer Sutherland.
Now you know what we are, now you know what you are. You'll never grow old, Michael, and you'll never die.
Talking about moving forward, what's the vision for Dutcher Crossing?
I would say that I would take a little bit of a step back from the work per se, the day-to-day work, and let some of my managers come forward and do the not so fun things of saying no. And then I can just enjoy being with clients and guests and so forth. I don't think we're going to grow production-wise. We may evolve with some different wine vineyards, because some are being sold because of the economy. But I think we just want to run really clean and overcome the hurdles of what California brings to us with the regulations. So, you know, just stay ahead of the game.
If there was something that you now, looking back to when you first purchased the winery, you were younger then, what would you tell that person?
Probably should have done it sooner, because I've enjoyed it. I would tell my younger self, don't try to do everything yourself. Really be good with surrounding yourself with the best people you can and let them do their job. I think I was a little bit of a micromanager early on, and I'm not so much anymore. So,
and what was the worst part about this interview?
I mean, I think it's funny that you laugh at my dumb joke. So,
man, I've been around comedy my whole life. Being around radio DJs, everybody's a comedy. You've refined. You're good.
Thank you. My poor staff has to put up with it daily, but that's okay.
Okay, let's get all the contact info. And well, before we get to the contact info and social media and the phone number and all that, website and all that stuff, because I could say it, but I'd rather have you say it. Give me a 15-20 second pitch to somebody who's scrolling on TikTok looking for a weekend getaway or something, and why they should come to Dutcher Crossing Winery.
You should come to Dutcher Crossing Winery because we fit all your needs. We are a beautiful site. We have incredible hospitality, and we have wines that are memorable. You will not find that anywhere else. We are memorable, one-stop shopping, and if you're lucky, if it's a girlfriend, bring her to the winery. It's the perfect photo op for a proposal. You know, you can email us at info@DutcherCrossingWinery.com. You can go to our website at Dutcher Crossing Winery and sign up there to have a tasting. Or, my gosh, you can just come visit us. We're at 8533 Dry Creek Road in Geyserville, California.
What's your favorite hamburger?
I like a turkey burger with cheese and bacon. pickles, tomatoes, and ketchup.
That's funny. Turkey burger with bacon.
Very specific. I go to Gott,
yeah,
which is over in San Helena. So I'm very particular. I do not drive past that place if it's open without getting my turkey burger.
It's been a pleasure, Deborah.
All right, perfect. Thank you so much. And you have a great day.
The Best 5 Minute One Podcast.
Don't forget my favorite part.
Please, please like and follow. Oh.